wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning, throw thunder in jail. Only last week, I murdered a rock, injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean, I make medicine sick. You, George Foreman, all of you chumps are gonna bow when I whip him. All of you, I know you got him. I know you got him, Dick.
The man's in trouble. The man is scared. He's in my country to start with. Let me show you who my country is. Ali Boumaye.
Ali Boumaye. Ali Boumaye.
Oh, when I hear them brothers holler like that, woo, I'm gonna get my soul and my spirit. 100,000 African brothers hollering Ali Boumaye. I told you, all of my critics, I told you all that I was the greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time.
Of all time.
I'm too fast.
Champions
I'm the
win.
King.
I'm going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. If man can't hit what a guy can't see.
After Dark Radio Land, and you know what time it is. When it's 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's another exciting edition on this Thursday for Ask Ms. V Sports on V's After Dark Radio. I'm your host, James Acevedo, and I got the one and only, the very lovely and multi-talented CEO of V's After Dark Radio, and amongst other things, it's the one and only Ms. Vita Toilet. I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to do that. Yes. So what's going on?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Oh my God, that was such a beautiful tribute to the all-time the GOAT himself, Muhammad Ali. For everybody who's listening, I'm live on Facebook. I'm taking your questions. So if you type them in, I'm going to take them. So you'll see some of my facial expressions. If you want to listen to the show live, this is your way to listen to the show, plus see me. So those of y'all who don't want to subscribe to Blog Talk, don't want to take the chance, this is your way to interact with me. We finally got it going. So you see all my craziness and my crazy-ass facial expressions. If you guys can hear me and you're on Facebook, let me know, because right now I'm not knowing if this Bluetooth is working. So I really need somebody who is on Facebook to say, hey, I can hear you or whatever. You know, let me know if you guys can hear me.
And, I hear you fine. I hear you loud and clear.
Well, you hear me on Blog Talk.
I know.
I know.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that tribute was great. The one I really wanted to play, even though that was good, was a poem he said in front of people called The Greatest, which was a shorter version that I wanted to play only because of time purposes. But at the end of the show, although that was good too, because that was one of the ones I was considering playing, but it was just too long. But at the end of the show, I will play one that's very, it's even better than that, because it basically takes his whole life into one highlight, everything chronicled from when he first came onto the scene, him going through, the government basically putting him in the draft. Let's keep it real. That was all bullshit. I mean, excuse me, all bullcrap. And because they knew what was going to happen, and him going all through that, lost 3 prime years of his life because he stood up what he believed in, which is one of the most admirable things about this man and this person in general. It doesn't matter if it was a man or a woman. This man in particular because he stood up for what he believed in, no matter what it would cost, even if it was his career. And because of his religious beliefs with being a Muslim, that's why he named himself Muhammad Ali. His original name was Cassius Marcellus Clay Jr., by the way. He was a junior. And one of the many reasons why I love Louisville, Kentucky, another reason is because I love KFC. And the Louisville Slugger is made in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, Ms. V will also add another reason why she loves Louisville, Kentucky, is because of Kentucky Derby. But that's not me. I know she would add that, but I don't really care for horses. But this man was a great man. He inspired not millions, but billions. I say that, yes, with a B, not millions. He inspired billions.
Oh, wow, we got a caller also.
Yeah, well, look at this. I noticed that, but I
I'm sorry. I'm multitasking a lot today. Like I'm doing Facebook Live. I've got a drink in my hand. Okay.
Ah. What is the drink of choice for this show? Because it might be different than tomorrow night.
I'm trying something new. I'm drinking pear schnapps. I'm doing it light and heavy at the same time. I'm trying pear schnapps. I normally do sour apple. I'm trying the pear. The pear is pretty good. You know, this way I'm not really wrong.
Nice. Okay. Well, I didn't know. I could tell right away. I was just curious what was the beverage of choice when it comes to Adventist Sports, because this is a different show than it's all about sex, sex, and more sex. Tomorrow night, by the way, shameless plug, but we don't care. 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah,
tomorrow night
it will be interesting.
Yeah. But, when I first knew of Muhammad Ali, I was obviously very young. He was already towards the twilight of his career. But just, you know, thank God for video and thank God, you know, he was still on Wild World of Sports back then practically every week because of him and Howard Cosell basically
was the best show watching them.
Like Saturdays. Saturday afternoons, every Saturday back in the day.
I grew up now. I learned about boxing. You know, we all know I'm a boxing fan. So, and for those of you who don't know, yes, I really am a boxing fan.
Yeah, which I'm very interested in what you got to say because you grew up, you know, all of this. Your dad obviously seen his fight. And so I'm very more interested in what you have to say about this great man that we lost, even though we knew this day was coming, but it still sucks. And, you know, it really it affected me. You know,
well, with the GOAT, and I know, first of all, for those of y'all who don't understand what I'm saying when I'm saying the GOAT, he coined that term back in the 70s, the greatest of all time. And so when you hear me guys saying when I'm talking about the GOAT, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not calling him out his name. I'm calling him what he called himself. And some people have taken offense to that, but I'm going to make this clear. Unlike any other athlete that has lived since I've been alive, he was not just a great athlete. He was a great man. I mean, to come out and disclose that you have Parkinson's disease, when he did, you know, people swore up and down that he was punch drunk. I grew up watching boxing. I watched live boxing. And I will tell everybody that when you are a true boxing fan, and I never, ever, you know, unfortunately, I never got a chance to see Muhammad Ali fight. But Cleveland is a very big boxing city. They used to have boxing on Saturdays in Cleveland, and it was not too far from where I lived at in Cleveland, so I was aware of it. My uncle wasn't a boxing fan, so I didn't go with him, but my dad took me when we moved here to Michigan, the Kronk Gym, and my father, you know, when I think about Muhammad Ali, I think about now, you know, I'm so ready to go mess with my dad, but I know not to mess with him because I remember growing up, my father had the best tall tales when it comes down to famous people. And you never know what to believe and what not to believe. So when I say this, I want everybody to understand, I don't know if it's true. I'm going to tell you what my father told me. So I'm going to make it clear that, hey, Katrina, what's up, Trina? Okay, it's one of my friends watching. But for anybody who doesn't understand when I'm saying with the boxing, my father told me this story when I was growing up, and he said that he had met the great in Chicago. Now, my dad, we all know my dad is from Chicago, so he talked about hanging out with him and stuff. And, you know, when I look at his age and everything, I'm starting to wonder, okay? I'm not going to say my dad. Didn't tell the truth. I'm just going to say I'm wondering. Because he had these, like, fabulous hotels, and I really can't even tell it the way that he did because it was just so crazy.
Wish we could have him on just to hear it.
He would tell me about how he met and hung out. And I've come to realize there's tall tales. Some are true, some are not true. When we're talking about Muhammad Ali, it's just like, oh, my God, are you serious? And his passing was a very great loss. And like I said, there's no one who can live up to what he did in and out of the ring. And I think that's why
when you
ask me what is my take on it, you know, I don't remember just a boxer. I mean, I remember, you know, a man. I remember
a
civil rights activist. You know, I don't see what a lot of people see because being African-American,
right.
I see a civil rights activist. I see someone who stood up against the Vietnam War when people weren't doing that. That was something that, you know, a lot of people just did not have the courage to do. And to stand up and take an oath to the United States Supreme Court, that is a whole lot. So that
right there,
despite everything else, you know, makes me, you know, respect what he did. You know,
absolutely.
And then he produced a daughter who's a fabulous boxer, you know, when she was boxing, you know, and she wasn't, you know, some mediocre, you know, rich looking chick. I mean, Layla Ali is a beautiful woman. You know, she is a sports broadcaster in herself.
Yes. Yes.
And he raised her not only to be a sportsman, but to also be a upstander of citizens. So when you look at everything that's going on, this is a tremendous loss to the entire world, in my opinion, because he took boxing to places where it had not been taken. When they did the Rumble in the Jungle, it wasn't just a promotion. It was so that other people could see boxing, you know. When he took it to Africa, you know, as much as he
boxed
and everything about what was going on, it was showmanship, but it was also to let people who normally would not see U.S. boxers box.
Yes, right.
And that was very good fight.
You know,
and I mean, I can't say enough. I mean, I could probably go on and on and on and on, you know, just what we've lost. But more so it's to say, if nobody doesn't remember or didn't have a chance, pick up a book. Pick up a book, read about them. If you want to know, ask your parents. You know, especially those of us who live in cities where Detroit has a big boxing community. You know, we lost Emmanuel Stewart a couple of years ago. So when you look at the people who have been lost in this community, there's not going to be right now, and something was said on the news over the weekend, and they're still talking about it. Right now, no child can tell you who the heavyweight champion of the world is. But when Muhammad Ali was boxing, he was able to say that.
Yep.
Hey, Tommy. Okay, for those of y'all, I'm on Facebook. So, for everybody who's joining me on Facebook Live, I'm actually live on my radio show, Athens Be Sports. I'm the co-host with James Acevedo. So what you guys see is my earbuds in my ear because I have my earbuds in my ear and I'm talking live on the air. So what you're hearing me is me answering questions because we're talking live. So you guys can always click the link above that I typed up in there for you guys, and you guys can listen to me while I'm on the show, but y'all can see all my animation. Y'all get a chance to see what nobody else can. And you can ask questions and you can interact on Facebook with me because I am going to be taking questions for those of you guys who don't want to come over to Blog Talk.
Yeah.
And call in. The chat room is open.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I was saying. You know, whole thing with Muhammad Ali and me saying that a lot of our young people, as a matter of fact, the only reason why I know who the heavyweight champ is because of who he's married to. So,
and I have no clue.
Citizen.
And I have no clue. That goes to show you a lot. But it's been like that for a while with boxing, unfortunately.
The heavyweight champ is, I nearly messed up his name, but he's married to Hayden Panettiere. the little short chick who played in that movie with the football players where they were talking about racism. Anybody don't look up who hates
Tim Tebow? Remember the Titans?
Remember the Titans.
Yeah, I love that movie.
And
Denzel, another great Denzel movie.
He's married to her, and they have a baby together. He's got he's a Russian, Vladimir something, close call for something. That's the only reason why I know who the heavyweight champion
Shmino.
That's the only reason why
Shmino.
I know, because I follow boxing. So
yes, you do.
Yes,
way more than I do.
Questions.
I lost my interest a long time ago. The beginning of the end to me, not to get off subject, was when Mike Tyson lost to Buzzard Douglas. It was the beginning of the end to me of as far as the heavyweight division. That was the beginning of the end in February 1990 in the Tokyo Dome. I remember it like yesterday, so seeing it live on HBO.
I lost my interest when Tyson was fighting, believe it or not, and there hasn't been anybody since Tyson. And, I mean,
damn,
we don't have anybody. Actually, there's a young man. He used to go to Michigan State University. He's a heavyweight contender right now. Don't ask me his name. I just know he's a heavyweight.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the sad part. I watch boxing, and the only reason why I said, like, I know who the current champ is because who he's married to. And if he was not married to Hayden Panettiere, I would not know. I'm being real honest.
Well, that's what this show is about. It's about honesty.
But that's probably more than most people. Hey, Marie.
No,
God,
no,
I got anybody
no,
up on Facebook.
Good. Good.
So,
welcome.
Everybody's like, up on Facebook, and they know this is Ask Miss Me Sports, so guys, come to the blog talk so you guys can hear what we're talking about, because all you hear is my side right now, so y'all think I'm being really animated and don't realize what I'm saying.
So no one's hearing what I'm saying, is what you're saying.
Right,
no
nobody's hearing what you're saying. They're just hearing what I'm saying, so they see the animation and hear my mouth going. Well, remember, we tried to do it before. No, but remember, before we tried to do it, and it was too big of a kickback.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying.
All right. Damn it. And then I can't hear you as good when you do that, right? That's another reason,
right,
too?
That was the feedback from it.
Yeah, so if you want to hear, if anyone gives a crap, anyone wants to hear what I'm saying, you know, but only on Blog Talk you can hear anyway. I don't know why I'm announcing this, but if you call
646. You know what? Maybe I can try to speak them. You know what? Maybe I can try to speak it since I've got the Bluetooth for
Let's see if it's like a stadium echo.
Speaker.
If you do it. Today.
I don't think you should hear echo today.
I can hear myself.
See if I go speaker.
Luckiest man. I got to say.
Can you hear
me now? Yeah, barely.
You said barely.
Oh. No, I can hear you. Wait, go. Keep talking. Go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me now? See, I got a hold of my mouth.
Okay. That must look funny on Facebook.
Because I got my phone in my mouth.
Okay.
So I'm going to actually go back on my Bluetooth because I don't think this is going to be good.
No, I agree. Yeah, I agree with you. Good call there. Good call.
Okay. I'm back.
You're back? Okay, back on Bluetooth. Okay. So, unfortunately, go ahead.
So, for anybody who wants to, somebody said they wanted what I was drinking. This is Pear Schnapps that I'm drinking, Parade. And they laughing at me. So, it goes. And it looks like I can't tell. Who is that in the chat room? We got somebody in the chat room also. I can't tell.
Yeah, you mean the one that says Dabu One?
Yeah. Hey, Dabu One. We don't know you.
Yes.
You can join the conversation.
Either.
You know, type. We will answer. You know, we will be typing back because everybody's like watching all my animation right now, thinking I'm really funny. But we will answer verbally because we both can see the chat room of Blog Talk.
Yes.
You know,
yes, we can.
But if you want to see me, you can always come over to Facebook. It's the Miss Me the Toy Lady Facebook page. I'm on Facebook. We got to start announcing that because, you know, I changed the Facebook page. Remember, I was remember, we just changed the name of the Facebook page because it used to be the Beans After Dark Facebook page, and I'm hijacked it. I hijacked it and renamed it.
So what I wanted to say, unfortunately, no one can hear, but so I'll make this brief for you. since no one can hear what I'm saying as far as your end of it.
I'll repeat
life.
It.
All right, you
repeat
it? Okay. What I will say is this, and I think I'll say this real quick. I found out when I was at my first day on the job, on my new job, overnight, and it bothered me. And the first thing I did was look at a lot of things, you know, current what people were saying, you know, Stephen A. Smith, stuff like that, and things in the past. And the thing
I was in shock all day. I was in shock.
Yeah. Yeah, again, this is the worst year I've ever, I think, in any of our lives living. We experienced so many great icons in our society dying. Doesn't matter what field it is. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's almost like every week, every other week or every other week on my show, I start off my show with a tribute, a memorial tribute. It seems like,
wow.
As far as for me, when I do my show on Friday, and one thing I want to say that really has affected me. I mean, I know we all have our time on this earth, and then we move on. But he was such a brave man, and he wasn't just for black people. He was the voice of the voiceless for people, whether it was civil rights, whether it was people who couldn't dodge the draft, no matter what background. And to think what he did. Civil rights, which even made him more immortal to me and great, because he basically looked fear dead in the eye and basically was like, you don't scare me. I'm going to do what I want to do. This is my life, and I'm going to live my life. And that's what he did from day one to the day he died, and you have to respect that. And it brought a tear to my eye a few times just watching the highlights of his life, to where he ended up the last 32 years fighting with Parkinson's disease, which is a long fight. He could have easily quit, and he never did. He raised millions and millions of dollars for charities with Michael J. Fox, who also has Parkinson's, which Ms. V also proved right there. It's not boxing that got him like that. Parkinson's could happen to anybody. Doesn't matter.
Well, first of all, people used to say that when people got Parkinson's, they called it being punch drunk, and it's not always
yeah.
the case. And
no.
While we were sitting here, I'm like, my mind is going because we all see that I had this nice new Bluetooth hanging on me. And I just realized I've got this Bluetooth also hooked up to – no, I have it hooked up to my phone also. And I was like, this is also a speaker, so I probably should have done this speaker versus the phone speaker. I should have did the reverse of the Bluetooth.
Okay. Well,
because
it's a work in progress.
I don't think it would have been an echo. Oh, yeah, it's a work in progress. We're still learning.
It's a work in progress, you know, so, yeah. I can't blame Ms. V this time. So, but in all seriousness, this time. Okay, now here's the bottom line. Was he perfect? No one's perfect, okay? Nobody is perfect. Regardless what you agreed or what you didn't agree with him, he stood what he believed in, and I respect him for that. And this is coming from a Navy veteran, because guess what? During that time, the civil rights, you know, all that came out. That was a draft going on, the Vietnam War, a war that the government should never have been involved in, as we all know in our history. And he took a stance because of his faith in the Muslim religion. And you have to respect that.
And then
that.
I want to make a comment on that.
Go ahead.
And the reason why I want to make a comment, because we all know how I feel about veterans.
Of course.
And I'm a veteran. And
yeah, I was going to say that. Go ahead.
We know that we all know that I've had some very nasty comments made to me lately, being a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know that this goes back to, how can I put this, because I'm trying not to cuss, because we all know this is a family-friendly show. I'm doing a family-friendly. Yes,
tomorrow 7 p.m. For the unrated version of these comments.
And also, if anybody want to hear what happened with Zane, because I saw Zane this past weekend, listen to tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
So,
that's tomorrow.
Because actually, I'm gonna upload some of the audio, because she actually read excerpts from her book. So I'm going to upload
that. Oh, so we can hear this tomorrow? So we can hear this tomorrow on the show? Oh, nice.
Yes.
Ooh, I can't wait. Cool.
You actually hear Zane and her whole voice.
Nice.
I'm not going to upload the video for you guys, because I don't want anybody... I'm like, this is kind of explicit. But I will upload it to the show, and we'll play some tomorrow night for the show.
How about that? Yeah.
But back to what I was saying, being a veteran.
And so is
Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali is one of the reasons why we no longer have a draft.
Thank you.
We have selective service. And for those of y'all who don't understand what selective service is, most men should know. But as a woman, I had to experience it for one reason. And I still have to endure it at the age of 47 because of my government name.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, selective service, when you turn 18 years old, you have to register for selective service. What that means is they implement a draft. They will go through those men who have registered in the selective service. Before, they used to not do that. It was just basically, you 18, you go on, baby. In my case, I'm still getting letters at this age saying I never registered for selective service, and I keep having to send in, I'm a woman. You know, because for women, you put on the box, I'm excluded, I'm a female.
But wait a minute. Remember that story that you said when you first started in Navy that they were looking for, and they thought your name was a guy's name?
Yeah, they were looking for me. For like 2 weeks, they were looking for me when I first got in boot camp. And they,
oh, my God.
I had to shut and like, excuse me, he is a she because I'm him, you know, and it was kind of funny. You guys will have to hear the whole story to understand. And you guys who know my real name, and those of y'all who are watching me on Facebook Live, don't y'all dare type it in there because y'all all know.
Yeah. Some of your ass.
But for those y'all who know my real name, when I went to boot camp, I went through that. So they thought that I was a guy for 2 weeks. And I still get mail to say Mr. on it. And I still get people when I tell them, excuse me, I never got two children. These titties are real. I had a uterus.
In 2 weeks. Well, don't feel bad. They had me, as far as race, they had me as a Caucasian, so don't feel bad. And I had to correct that.
But your name is nowhere near Caucasian, okay?
I know.
I'm going to tell you, but I would assume if I did not know you, I would go more Italian.
Thank you.
If I was going to make you something.
And you know what? That's why you're very smart. And not only beautiful, but smart, because a lot of people don't know Acevedo could be Italian. Well, Spanish and Italian are very, very close to each other. They're very similar with their languages.
But
that's one of the reasons. So you're absolutely right.
But if I was gonna call you something, I'm gonna call you Italian. But I'm just saying.
At least.
Hey, wow, the power just went off on my Bluetooth. So I don't know what's going on. The power just went off. I don't know if you heard it said power off.
Was that what I...
The power...
Because I heard something weird for a second.
Off.
That's what that was? Okay.
Yeah,
I heard something
off.
Weird. Like your voice went for a second. I guess that's what it was.
No, but it said the Bluetooth went off. So
ooh.
I don't know if it's... I don't know if it's going to reconnect or what.
Okay.
But I think it sounds like it reconnected.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a loud... This whole thing is a loud little bugger, isn't it? I got off.
Thank God. My God. That's a lot of hell. That's annoying. I wish I could say what I really want to say on here, but I got to wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, but we're going to see how it works tomorrow because it's also a speaker and a mic. So that's the beauty of it. Remember when I tried it with the other one? But this one is a speaker and a mic. We're going to see tomorrow night how it works.
Gotcha.
Because I also have it where it could go hooked up to my phone.
We
were talking about the GOAT.
Yeah, back to that.
So, well, everybody, you know, is so in about you being assumed that, you know, but all actuality wise, I said, you know, you're not Caucasian, you're a light skinned brother. Because know that what you are.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's true though.
Our Puerto Ricans, light-skinned brothers, I mean, that's just, I mean,
well,
y'all get treated just as bad as we do, y'all stepchildren like us. I mean,
we own
you guys. I mean, y'all are actually lower than us. And, I mean, that's the sad part to say, but you guys are, like, lower than us because they still own you guys. Okay, everybody's like, am I being racist? No, I'm not being racist, but it's the truth because we own the territory of Puerto Rico. They have voting rights, but they like don't
we're
have
a commonwealth.
No, you're a territory. You're not even a commonwealth.
Yeah.
You're
oh, it's even worse. Oh, it's even worse. Okay.
Yeah.
And also, I want to say on here on Blog Talk Radio that the way Ms. V is saying it, she's not being malicious with it. I could tell that. Anybody with intelligence knows she's just saying the truth. You know, it's just the truth, what she's just saying. It is true, what she's saying. And it is what it is. And I did not cuss. No,
anybody who knows me knows that I keep it politically correct, and I do, you know, I know my U.S. history. I mean, you cannot
absolutely
have a degree in public. If you have a degree in public law and don't know U.S. history, you have issues. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you got that degree some other way. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You didn't get the legit way like you did. But I think
you know, them street degrees don't count. I'm just letting y'all know, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't go to the school. I don't have believe it or not, I do not have a degree from the School of Hard Knocks. A lot of people say they got their PhD in Hard Knocks. I really did not get mine. I've had some hard times, but I actually have the real college degree.
Like
we won't shoot because I'm actually looking it up on my wall. But I didn't go online and buy it either.
Well, yeah,
I couldn't have bought this if I wanted to.
Know
that. Oh, but some people would say I did. But I do have my letters from the president. You know, I do like
yes,
that. I
do.
Have my college
you
screen
have frame.
Next to my letter
yes.
from the pre- yes, I have my beautiful
yes.
frame letter from the president of the United States.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm proud. So, wow, I look like I'm squinty.
We're not wearing your glasses. That's why, right?
No, I'm not. You know, I'm live
yeah,
on the air.
That's why.
I'm trying not to wear my glasses. And
what I wanted to say real quick.
I was
going to
say,
Go ahead.
We're going to take a brief pause, and it's going to be really brief.
Okay.
A thing
Ooh,
to say, and I'm going to sit up for this because I want everybody to look at this. It's only one game. You're not going to win. It was only one game.
First of all, can I say real quick also?
Sure.
Who didn't think Cleveland was going to win game three? Hello. It was in Cleveland. I mean, common sense.
What's that
okay. Saying? Yeah, I mean, all right, they got all right. Golden State got their asses beat 30. That's fine.
But it's one game.
One game. Yeah, they're still losing two games to one.
Game.
You still got to win the next. Let me do my math right. You still got to win the next
three out of four
games to win the championship against this team. And I'm not saying this because I don't like LeBron. I'm just keeping it real. I don't see it happening. I just don't see it.
Well, also, let's remind everybody, Steph Curry is from Akron, Ohio also, so I'm going for Steph Curry.
Yep, that's right. Well, who yeah, you should. I mean,
yeah.
Just saying.
Now, I got yelled at this morning. My mother yelled at me. I got yelled at.
What?
I got chastised.
Oh, why because of this?
Yes, I got chastised. Yes. I was told that because I was born there and just because I moved north, that I have to remember where I was born. And I made the comment that Steph Curry, and I put it right out there. I said, but Steph Curry is from Akron, so I'm going with the light skin brother this time, all right?
Ms. B is saying, usually I don't, but in this case, it's a different case.
You know, I'm going with the light skin brother from Akron. His name's Steph Curry, the one with the beautiful daughter. Let's remember the little girl, because she do the I see you, you know.
So
I'm going for Steph Curry.
Two beautiful daughters, because he has a younger baby. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you know, so I had to kind of, me and my mother, I got chastised.
I very
seldom get chastised by my mother. And she made it a point to tell me how I should have been cheering, and I told her I did not
don't
care.
Tell me what to
and
do.
I didn't say that. I like living. Okay,
I know.
My mom is still alive, you know. But I told her. I said, but you know, Steph Curry from Akron, so I kept throwing out that Steph Curry is from Akron.
Good comeback. Good comeback. Very good. Very good. And what she said, and when you said that, what she said.
She told me I better remember where I was born. And I
even though you said
that. From Akron.
No, yeah. But you know what? I got a real good. But see, I got one better for it. I said, but I have to go with Steph Curry because my daughter was born outside of Oakland. So I have to go with Golden State because my baby was born in California outside of Oakland. So, you know.
Wow. Good one. I didn't know. Even I didn't know that.
So,
wow.
So we had this. When I tell you, we spent 30 minutes on why I should be happy for them other people that I won't say. I said but Steph Curry is from Akron. And then when I was told that, you know, she was like, but this. Okay, I just saw James for a minute, you guys, but I know he'll be right back. But then I had to tell my mom that my daughter was born in Akron. So it's one of those things where, I mean, not Akron. My daughter was born in outside of Oakland. So it's one of those things where, for everybody who don't understand, me and my mother very, very seldom get into it, especially about sports. This is not our norm. And I don't normally get told who to root for. I mean, I root for the Red Wings. I root for the Lions. I root for artists. So I don't normally have the problem that other people have, but for my mother to really tell me who I need to be rooting for, that was having a problem. I see you back, James.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I was trying to make believe it didn't happen, this cutoff that happened.
I know. I got you. I bit my tongue.
I know.
I got you.
I know what happened.
But yeah,
I know what happened. Sorry about that. Apologize.
Yeah, it happened. But but I was saying, me and my mother very seldom have a debate, especially about sports.
Really?
And it was just, we don't normally have these debates. So
okay.
I'm hoping, because I have thrown out there that my daughter can be a Golden State fan because she was born in Novato, California, which is right outside of San Francisco. Since San Francisco doesn't have a basketball team, we go with Oakland, which sits right next to
it's right
San Francisco.
There. I mean, yeah, it's right across the bay, you know. Yeah.
You know, and Golden State is right there, so I am hoping, like I said, this is an argument that we very, very seldom have. When I say very seldom, I am normally not told who to root for. And it was just shocking that we had this, and I had to counter that. Not once, not twice, but a few times. So,
wow.
Well, you know, because she couldn't tell me there was no reason for me to root for the West Coast. And I was like, yes, it is. Steph Curry is from Akron, and my daughter was born right outside of Oakland.
And plus, she was stationed in the West Coast. And plus, she was stationed in the West Coast. Yeah, so no reason.
Yeah, but she wouldn't, being stationed out there wouldn't fly with her. But when I informed her one of her grandchildren was born out there,
what she said,
she was like,
then,
okay. She was like, well, you know, because well, my son can't claim nothing. My son was born in Japan, you know, but my daughter was born in California, so. And my mother says she actually forgot that, you know, my children were born in different places. You know, most people, you know, or your kids. My kids weren't born here. You know, one was born over in Japan, one was born in California, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. But, so. That was the argument. So I actually thought we were kind of got a verbal blows this morning. It was shocking because that's not something that we normally do. And it was really shocking that we were having some true verbal blows going on.
Wow. Because
I think I won. And the reason why I say I think I won was because I had more pros than cons.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I can relate to Golden State legitimately, and it's not just a team. She was like, oh, well, I forgot about that. You know, I forgot about that fact that always works.
but I remember that your grandmother really loves,
oh my God, she does.
Yeah.
Yes, she does.
I can imagine what she would have said to you. Oh, boy. I can imagine how that would have went, huh?
Again.
Like I said, I think I have shut it down, okay? I think I've shut it down. I'm sure we won't be having this discussion no more. I could tell you that. That won't be it. We don't get it. We normally have, like, stupid arguments. This was a almost verbal blow argument this morning.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. I didn't think it was that serious, but she was, like, really, like, up in my stuff.
But you were born in
like,
there. Right? She was like, that.
Hey,
you
were
born there.
For him. Pretty much. I mean, I got the you will, and I'm like, ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
And we were, like I said, there was some verbal blow. There was no cussing. But there was some serious verbal blows going on. It was you will remember where
you
were born and raised.
Yeah, let me ask you, like, if this was your mother, I think you would have said other not so good pleasantries, right? If this wasn't your mother.
If there was anyone other than my mother, I would have said some words that I can't say on this show.
Not this show, but tomorrow.
You know, but I would, we would have, it would have been an argument.
Mm-hmm.
When I threw out the Oakland factor, she calmed down.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
She did not know Steph Curry was born in Akron. You know, so I had to tell her.
Yeah, it don't cook.
We all know.
Yeah, for some.
We all know about chocolate.
Yeah, for some reason it doesn't get put out as much that he's also from Akron, Stephen Curry. But it has been put out, but not as much. Has been talked about.
Well, that's why I had to put it out there. I had to look.
Yeah, exactly.
Steph Curry from Akron? I'm going with that vanilla looking brother, you know.
In this case,
you know, I like my men milk chocolate.
We,
let's make it real.
We all
I like
know
the milk
do.
Chocolate.
And we all know you do.
But
yes, you do.
But
yes, you
I
do.
Will.
But
I will
case,
let you know.
Yeah.
In this case, I'm not going for that milk chocolate.
Is it the exception?
I'm going
it's
for
the
that.
Only exception.
I'm going for the imitation chocolate. I won't even call it white chocolate because white chocolate is, you know, because white chocolate is not really chocolate.
Yeah.
So white chocolate really is not real chocolate. So I'm
is
just
that
saying right now that's what I'm saying. I'm going for the imitation chocolate. Yes, a big oxymoron. But so I'm letting everybody know that I won't say white chocolate for the simple fact that. There is white chocolate. It's not real chocolate. So I'm going for the imitation chocolate.
Yeah, but
you know how that stuff that comes in the doggone bottle that you squeeze in. That's not really chocolate. That's imitation chocolate.
Oh, no.
So I'm going for the imitation chocolate.
Yeah, that's not real chocolate. No, it's not. But I think, like I said, going back.
I can't talk about that no more because I'll get upset and I'll cut.
Let's put it like this to make you feel better. I'm not jinxing, please. I'm not. But a week from now, we will be saying, well, it happened again to you know who.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. I still say Warriors in six. I said it before the playoffs started. Warriors in six. And I said it. So I do see the Cavaliers winning one more game. That's it.
What I would tell everybody is that tomorrow night, listen to Ask Misty Sports. I know y'all, I mean, not Ask Misty Sports, but tomorrow night.
But
you know what? I don't even say the name of that show on this show only because with this being so family friendly, and, you know, we made an agreement that we would not even say the name of that show. We'll just say listen to tomorrow night's show because this is a true family friendly show.
Yes.
So I know a lot of people are probably wondering why we're not saying the name of the show. Because of this being truly family friendly, I just got kicked off of Facebook. So for everybody who's watching me on Facebook, I'm gone. I'm not gonna resign. And I'm not mad.
I guess you have to be PG friendly there too.
I was PG friendly.
I don't know. I'm just messing with you. But go ahead.
So for anybody who was watching me on Facebook, I'm no longer on Facebook. I'm not going to sign back on because we've only got 15 minutes left on the show. So
By the way, I'm sorry. Real quickly, at the end of the show, I'm going to play a nice, great tribute to Muhammad Ali, which is going to be awesome. You got it here. That's at the end of the show. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, so for everybody who was wondering, if you were watching me on Facebook, I'm actually off now. I will be going live tomorrow night, and I'm going to post that I'll be going live tomorrow night. So, and I'm going to upload the stuff from Zane up into our stuff. So,
I can't wait to hear this. That should be
I'm
the start of the show tomorrow.
To,
yeah.
Yeah, it's coming because she did a really, you know what? You guys, I'm not giving nothing up. But listen to tomorrow night.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
going to be a really good show.
Yeah.
It's going to be really, really good.
Leave them in suspense. Radio 101. Leave them in suspense.
Just listen tomorrow night. But
yes.
Definitely what I will say is that the GOAT is going to be missed. You know, and I love the tributes that are coming out from the entire country. You know, when Bryant Gumbel comes out and talk about, you know, when he left the Today Show and Muhammad Ali came and, you know, wished him farewell, you know, these are things that he was such a humanitarian. And I don't know if you guys, now there was a post posted on Twitter, I mean, not on Twitter, but on Facebook. And Sierra DeVry, a very good friend of the show, you know, she posted that she, you know, because we also lost Prince, and this week, day before yesterday was Prince's birthday. Well,
That's right.
I didn't go and change my avatar.
It was Prince Day.
Sierra DeVry posted that she did not have the pleasure of going to a Prince concert, but she was able to meet Muhammad Ali, and she was talking about it, and people were posting on her timeline. And for anybody who follows my Twitter feed, a lot of people that follow Sierra also know me. And Ralph, what is Ralph's dad's name? But he's on my Twitter feed, but he posted something that was so beautiful where I almost cried and I had to walk away from my computer because he said that he did have the pleasure, and this was after Muhammad Ali had been diagnosed with Parkinson's, and I forget where he said he was. He said, but the GOAT was eating, and he went over to, like, just shake his hand, and his body card said, no, he won't be taking pictures or anything when he's eating. And he stopped what he was doing, and he said, no, come on over. And he took a picture. I think he said he hugged him. I don't think he said he got a picture of him, but he talked to him. He stopped what he was doing, and that tells you how much of a person he was, that he stopped his meal. And I read that post, and I was so ready to cry. Because that's the show, that is how real he was, you know. And I know this person didn't make this up, you know, because I have heard stories like this before. And it's just like I read that and I was like, wow, you know, I never had the pleasure of meeting him. And I did go, you know, I always said, I know I went to that last Prince concert. You know, I was one of the last fans to see him in the last year of his life because I was there just a little bit over a year ago, see him in concert, and had, we all know, I had fabulous seats.
Yes, you did.
But, you know, just to have two people that great pass, and, you know, it was like, wow, I never got a chance to meet Muhammad Ali. But I've met so many other great people that just to know how he was, I feel honored. Do you know how many people that are, who will never know, have the pleasure of even knowing who he was, other than through hearing about it, but never have lived in the lifetime that he was around? You know, I just look at it, I'm blessed that not only do I know who he is, but that I had the honor of being able to watch him on TV, that I got a chance to see him when he was in his prime, that even when he fell, when the disease started trying to take its best of him, he kept it real. Because, you know, seeing him like the torch for the 1984 Olympics, you know, that's something that we don't think about. And
that made me cry.
You know, these are just different things that we really don't think about. Or was it the 96 Olympics? Was it 84 or 96?
No, it was 96 in Atlanta. And
okay. 96. So, yeah. And, you know, I was going to say, I should remember that year because, okay, y'all going to laugh at me. Okay, but y'all going to laugh at me, and the reason why, because my aunt was able to carry the torch. My aunt was a torch carrier when it went through Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm not. She was, you know how they hand off, how regular people are allowed to carry, you know, do the torch run?
Mm-hmm.
And my aunt did it.
Wow.
My cousin actually put my aunt in to do it, and they picked my aunt to do it. So, you know, I should remember that year very well because when the torch went through Cleveland, my aunt carried it. So, I just got all kinds of stuff in my family, don't I?
That's one of the things, one of the many things that just shows is inspirational, the bravery he did out in the open. Yes, I'm going through the disease, but guess what? I'm living my life no matter what. This disease is not going to stop me. He's a fighter all his life. And this doesn't necessarily mean in the ring, but out the ring also. Everything he did. And
well,
that's
you know,
why
he
I
had
love
a
him
home
so
here at Grand Rapids. He had a home here in Michigan.
Oh,
and
wow.
They were talking about how, you know, even though he was in Phoenix, he still had a home here in Michigan. And there's a gentleman here who was actually his traveling companion. And they said the last few years he wasn't traveling as much, but this gentleman interviewed him. And he said that he knew something was wrong because he didn't call him on his birthday, which was like a week or so earlier. And he said he called the family and they said that he's on his last days. So... you know, just to hear the different people and to say that, you know, his wife did not trust everybody traveling with him because of how frail he was at the, you know, getting towards the end. And he said he traveled with him for a great many years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that may be the individual that Ralph Terry encountered when he said, you know, he's not taking pictures because this, you know, where some people travel with an entourage, he didn't travel with an entourage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And... when you look at great people, and I'm going to name a few people that, you know, that I would say that you would really think would travel. And I'm going to say a name that people are not going to like and bite my head off later. But R. Kelly does not travel with an entourage.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this firsthand. And no, I'm not 12. For y'all saying anything, but
are you 16?
When he traveled,
no. Go ahead.
Nah. I wish I was. I look good at 16.
Go ahead.
But actually, I looked better. I'm gonna keep it real. I looked better when I was 30.
You look pretty.
At 30.
You're a bad woman. I'm pretty.
At 30.
I'm the girl. You were the greatest, right?
You know, I look good. But,
I'm pretty.
No, because he's a member of Lifetime Fitness.
Okay.
And for anybody who knows about that gym, he doesn't take his entourage to the gym with him. And he was here a few years ago. One of my coworkers got a chance to meet him in the gym when he was working out. As a matter of fact, a lot of people that you would think they would have entourages around them actually don't. You know, and that's how... that's why I won't give up my gym membership because I never know who I'm going to see at the gym. I'm keeping it real. I never know. I go to the gym because I never know who I'm going to see.
That's why you go so early? That's why you go so early in the morning?
No. No, because actually, those people that come in at like the regular time. I go so early in the morning because ain't nobody in the gym.
Yeah, I know. I'm messing with you.
But those people normally come in at 4 or 5 in the afternoon, to be honest.
Gotcha.
I ain't doing 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
I got you. I think I was going to say I think the three greatest things that propelled him to even, shall we say, immortal status. The first time was when he beat Sonny Liston when no one thought he ever could at 22 years old. The second time when he basically didn't want to go to the draft, got stripped of the title unjustified for 3 years, and he prevailed that and won his appeal. And the third, I think the cherry on top of the sundae, besides other things he did after that, is when he beat George Foreman, because no one saw that coming.
Nope.
It was like deja vu, and he was already a legend already. That made him, oh, my God, like he can do anything. that made me cry. That is that actually I go and a man could cry. That really touched me a lot.
You sure?
Cause, yeah, yes. Because he said all along, you know, he said all along it's gonna be I'm a smarter fighter than I was back then. So trust me, I'm bad. I had broken jaw. I've taken the best punches from the best fighters. So, and the Foreman, trust me, I'm gonna win. He never wavered. He never, and he did it. He did it. And that's what, you know what I respect him even more? He was the first to brag about himself, but wasn't bragging because he backed it up every time.
But do you know how many people have been offended because of that?
I know.
There
well,
are people
you
now
remember
who
the times.
Not, well,
remember
well,
then,
also,
you know.
But I'm going to say even now, and this was, I'm going to say this.
Stop bragging if you back it up.
We all know that I go to church because sometimes I'm Instagram on Instagram. Is it Instagram, Periscope? I'm on one of them. Periscope on my way to church. And a few weeks ago, this was even before he got ill in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The pastor had a sermon, and, you know, it came up about him calling himself the greatest. And I don't think the pastor was doing this to be disrespectful because no one knew his deal at that point. But he was talking about, you know, when he called himself the greatest of all time. And I think that it was taken out of context. And even when I was sitting there in church, I was like, but, you know, I don't think he was saying he was the greatest of everything. He was and still is the greatest boxer of all time. I have no problem saying that. I have no problem giving him that title because not only was he a fabulous showman.
Oh, big time.
The man
he was a
was
very smart man.
Poet.
Yep.
The man was a poet. The
a
man
prophet.
Was, a, yes, a prophet, a humanitarian.
Mm-hmm.
He was a
mm-hmm.
devout Muslim, you know.
Yep.
He was a womanizer. Let's also remember he was a womanizer.
Yeah. He's had
you know,
more wives, yeah, and more, you know, and more women, you know, just saying, even real.
You know,
so
at the end of the day, let's also remember when he got in the ring, he is what children should look up to. Because he was not a sore loser. Let's keep it real. He was not a sore loser. But he would ask you for a rematch. Let's keep it real. You don't ask for a rematch now.
Yeah, he would. But guess what? Here's a perfect example real quick. The fight of the century that happened here in Madison Square Garden, New York City, 1971, which, by the way, Madison Square Garden named the West 33rd Street after Muhammad Ali just yesterday. It's called Muhammad Ali Way. And that's an awesome thing that Madison Square Garden did, and I actually tweeted that out, and I got the picture of it. He got knocked out by Frazier, and the one thing about that moment, he got right back up right away. You know how some people get knocked out, they get knocked down, they stay down for a little bit, and they get up?
Uh-huh.
No, he got up right away. Like, all right, he got knocked down, he got right back up, and guess what? It's a sign of what you should do because all people get knocked out is what you do afterwards. And he got right back up. Okay, he lost a fight, but he got another rematch and he beat him twice. But even though the third fight, Frazier basically said, I ain't going out again. And Ali has said that had he not done that, Ali would have been the one that said, I can't go no more for the third fight. You know, remember they all winded out. So he was like, oh, good,
yeah.
He gave up, good. I won. But my point is, he showed to never quit. Even when you get knocked down, you get back up. And that's like a model in life.
And the whole thing is that he
you know?
Is a role model. And I think this is what people keep forgetting. We are looking for, when they say, who is a role model, who do you make a role model? That man is a role model.
Yep.
I don't care that he's passed. I'm not going to say was because his
he
film
is.
Will live
yeah,
on forever. And this is something that a lot of people forget. The beauty of the 20th and the 21st century is that it's on film and it will live forever.
Thank God.
And he is a role model, you know, but he's not spoken of because I think, and I'm going to say this in my own opinion, I could be wrong, But my opinion is that the reason why people will not talk about him is because there are so many people who are afraid to face the realization of Parkinson's disease. You know, even though Michael J. Fox also has it, and, I mean, shoot, he was a young man when he got diagnosed. Was he in his late 20s, early 30s?
He said,
when he came out and said he had it.
28, he said, when he got it.
And
that's when Michael J. Fox had it, 28 years old.
And him and Muhammad Ali stood together. And
yep.
They're the reason, those two men from different walks of life, from different backgrounds, are the reason why there is so much research now on it, because you have a boxer who was the greatest boxer and an actor who people like me and you grew up with watching Family Ties. You know, regardless of what people may say about the show, which I had no problems with it, but you look at those two different walks of life. But the one thing they had in common, which had no race affiliated with it,
exactly,
is Parkinson's.
Yep.
You know, money could not buy either one of them health. And
think about that. Yep.
I say this because all the money in the world still has not made either one of these men better. And one of the things that they said Muhammad Ali did when he started raising money for Parkinson's was he said, the reason why I'm able to live the life I'm living is because I can afford it, but I want people who cannot afford the type of care that I'm getting to be able to get it. And Michael J. Fox said the exact same thing, and the two of them collaborated together to create the foundation and these fundraisers and everything that goes on. So if there's anything that any of us should take out of his passing, it's that you know how, what was it, last year it was the ALS challenge, and they were doing the bucket challenge for ALS.
Yeah.
I truly believe that if we all, and I'll be, you know, if I have to, I'll be the first one, I think that we should do a Parkinson's disease bucket challenge in honor of him, you know, and do it to raise money and awareness of Parkinson's disease, because this is something that's very real, and that would be a tribute that I think that not only his family but everyone would appreciate, and name a challenge out there, you know, if I have to, I'll start it. You know, it's going to be hot enough this weekend where I can actually do it. I won't feel bad. It's going to be 90 degrees this weekend. So,
that's perfect to do that. Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah. So if I do it, I'm going to tag some people, and I want people to be prepared, and that will be my tribute to the GOAT. And I'm not being funny about it, but we're so busy talking about things. I think this is another way to make awareness of Parkinson's disease. I've never been affected by it, but I think the best tribute that we can give to this man is to keep the awareness of Parkinson's alive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
God, did I just get real sentimental and everything and make this a downer show?
Yeah. Well, it's real. That's the bottom line. And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And let's not forget that this man was also presented the Presidential Medal of Freedom back in 2005 by President George W. Bush.
The man who don't like black people.
Yeah, the man who I mean, it just shows you. I mean, think about this. He was a recipient of the 1997 Arthur Ashe Courage Award. You know, I mean, he was voted, obviously, by ESPN as the greatest athlete of the 20th century and the most iconic, definitely, and most influential. And he is, by far, in and out of the ring, because what he did outside the ring, I think, made him even more of the greatest than what he did inside the ring. That you know, he was great at
what
both.
What he did outside the ring is a brand new level of respect and role model. I mean, I never disliked the man, so I want to put this out there. I never, ever, I am a true boxing fan. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a boxing fan. But when you talk about the admiration and the things that you look for in a person and the things that you say that you will remember, I don't know if you want to kind of end it like this and then go to the thing or if
tribute.
You want to say something, but I'm going to say that one of the things that I will say, one of my best memories of Muhammad Ali was his interviews with Howard Cosell.
Yep.
Because the two of them, you know, there's not one that stood out because the two of them together, and well, actually the best one was when he sat there and poured his toupee off of him. And for anybody who hasn't seen it, I'm sure that they got it on YouTube, but he pulled Howard Cosell's toupee off.
And,
you know, so I'm going to take that when I say there's not one, there is one. The toupee being pulled off is the best.
You know what's funny is that during the time where it's going to be in this tribute, by the way, when you hear Howard Cosell said, and one thing about Cosell, whether you liked him or not, he was honest. Like, it didn't matter because he was real close with Muhammad because he knew, for one,
they were really good friends.
Not only that, but they knew they helped each other's careers a lot. So
he said,
when the Foreman fight, the Rumble of the Jungle, Cosell really felt that Ali was done. Ali was going to get beat, and then he was going to retire after the fight, after he got beat. So Ali got wind of this, and he looked dead in the camera. He was like, well, you're saying I'm not the same guy I was 5 years ago. I was talking to your wife, and she said, you're not the same man from 2 years ago.
Yeah, I didn't even know him, too. He's like, and your wife said, you're the same man you was 5 years ago.
2 years ago. Oh, my God. He always had – that's why I love the man. He's always very witty, very smart man, the greatest promoter. He didn't need a manager to do that. He was a smart man. And I think Joe Frazier, who I thought was a little bitter, he didn't, I think, understand Ali like he should. You know what I mean? Like, Ali knew how, you know, to promote, to play with the media, to – he just knew. Remember, there was that famous thing with Cosell, Wide World Sports again, where Frazier got a little pissed off, stood up on him, and Ali's like, sit down, Joe. Like, you know, it's basically saying, if you read between lines, it's not that serious. Like, Joe, sit down. And then Ali took advantage of it. You go down, Joe. He jumped out his ass. I think Frazier was, I mean, a great fighter himself, but he really didn't like him. I mean, there was I remember something in a book that he wrote that, well, who you think won now after time has passed with him having Parkinson's? He basically was making fun of him having Parkinson's. I don't know if you remember Frazier saying something where it was like, well, look at him now, look at me.
He got Sam really bad for that also.
He apologized later. But it was later down the line. It wasn't like right away. But this showed to me how bitter he was. You know, like, dude, you just don't understand. At that time, with the fight of the century, it was basically the government versus us. That's what it was. Us was Ali. The government was Frazier, because Frazier was, you know, he's the clean-cut guy, you know, goes by the rules and, you know, wouldn't go against the authority. And, you know, so when – and a lot of stories by grown men have said, when Ali got knocked down, they cried. Not by one, a lot of guys at that time, they cried. A lot of stories, like, oh, I saw my father cry. I never saw my father cry unless it was, you know, my mother passing something, but that shows how deep that was. Because Ali knew what he stood for. It wasn't just for him. It was about us. Because he knew, had he gone to the draft, and you know damn well, they probably would have gave him something cush, who knows. You know, like Elvis went through, let's be honest with Elvis Presley.
I don't think they would have. I'm going to think it would have been different.
True. But
that's true. That's a good point. You know, I'm disagreeing with you because Elvis was a white man.
True.
And
Ali
was a black man. You know, and I'm not going to say what we were called back then, but Muhammad Ali was a black man, and no, he would not have gotten
especially with Muslim
pushy
connections. Yeah, no. Well, let me just say this. I still say it was a setup because they knew he wouldn't go. So that way he would look bad in the public eye if they left.
You
got to go to the
guy.
You know what I mean?
I don't think that they thought they were going to get that type of rhetoric, though. I really don't think that they thought.
You really
think
that they thought he was going to accept it?
I don't think they thought he was going to accept it, but I don't think that they thought that there was going to be the backing. Remember, the one thing that they didn't count on, we had just went through the civil rights movement. So yeah. You had people who were still on that bandwagon, and you had people who were still, and you had a lot of white people who were still, hey, this ain't right. Remember, we still have places in this country that have white-only establishments, especially
really?
If you go to parts of Texas and Mississippi. There are places that still have this. You know, look at it. They just now finished enforcing Brown versus Wade in Mississippi. Therefore, you know, we have to look at that we are in the 21st century and we are still dealing with laws that were created back in 1967 and 1968 and 1963. Therefore, we were not at the end of the civil rights movement, but right when we as black people were able to be more openly free, where we thought we could express ourselves, and you still had a lot of white people who were very, very discontent with what was going on, who felt that we didn't get all we deserved. So he had attorneys come into his defense that if we had not been going through that, would not have done it. And they did not count on these attorneys who were there for the civil rights movement, even though the late, great Thurgood Marshall, you know, my idol, who was a Supreme Court justice, also a judge advocate for the United States government and for the NAACP. Yeah, I know my history. even though he was one of them who fought with them, you had, if it were not for white attorneys who were true civil rights advocates, it wasn't about building up themselves, but it was about doing what was right. They did not count on these same men coming to his defense, because it's okay for an Amish individual to say what they're not going to do, but it was not okay for a Muslim. And you have to remember, the Muslim faith grew because of our prison system. A lot of African-American Muslims in this country come from the prison system, not as much as they did back in the 60s and the 70s, but a lot of our men became Muslims in prison because of the nonviolence that was affected with it. And I really wish that the Muslim faith was as strong as it was when it comes to that aspect, because I don't think we would have as much recidivism as we have if the Muslim faith was as strong as it was back then in the prison system, because you had a lot of men coming out. You had Malcolm X and a lot of men come out of prison with a new look on how to handle things, which was nonviolent, which was about being true to their religion, and we've lost that in this country. God, I just want my high horse. This is supposed to be about Ali. I'm sorry.
No, that's true. But my bottom line, what I was about to say to finish, is that he knew the load he had on his shoulders, and he knew that if he accepted that draft, that it would have continued. The draft would have continued, and God knows where we'd be at now. So he knew what.
Amish people don't go to war. But the reason why I said that is because the Amish are not forced to go. Remember, the Amish to this very day still do not. They don't give into the social norms of the rest of the country, and every single state has Amish in it, and the Amish are still horse and buggy with the things on the back of the carriages. Every single state has an Amish community. Every single state in the union that is in the lower 48. I don't know if there's one in Alaska, and I don't know if there's one in Hawaii, but I can tell you in the lower 48, every single state that I'm aware of, east of the Mississippi, so I had to put that out there, east of the Mississippi has Amish community.
True.
And I know, again, crack a book, people. Crack a book. Just crack a book. I'm on this big crack a book thing. So you guys, I'm not gonna apologize. Don't say, oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm not gonna apologize. Crack a book. Not a Kindle. A book.
Yeah, real
one
book.
That you got a dog
physically,
and a page. Crack a book and learn.
Turn the page.
Because I didn't you can't find this on Google, okay? You can't Google everything. I know y'all want to, but you can't. Oh my God! Google just picked up on my tablet. I'm sitting here saying you can't.
Oops!
I looked over and I was like, "You can't Google everything." And it says, "Say okay, Google." So my Google is picking up. Google is like really picking this up when I.
It's like, oh yeah, Ms. V. It's like saying, oh yeah.
No, because it says, say, okay, good boy, tap the mic. Because when I said that you can't find it on Google, it was like, yeah, come on, I'm going to show you.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, oh, yeah, you want to bet? But, you know, all I got to say before we bid adieu and we go into the internet.
Because I just got my laugh on my laptop. From my tablet, I just got a good laugh from that. I can't even talk about that because all I can do is say, wow. I say, you say Google everything, and Google opens up and says, say, okay, Google.
But that's but that's the thing. No matter, Muhammad Ali was just loved and by all races of people. Not just, you know, black, not just Hispanic, not just white. People in other countries adored him. He went to other countries visiting other leaders. They said to him, like, if he was the president, you know.
I think he's the one who created the groupie. Because, you know, he had groupies following him to Africa. I'm just saying, you know. I'm just saying, you know.
I mean, one of the famous things he said, I was saying I was the greatest before I became the greatest. I have some of my favorite quotes from him.
I'm sorry. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this as politically correct as I can say it, but I'll
keep
getting thrown off the air because this is our PG show. This is actually our G show. This ain't PG. This is our G show.
Yeah, G show. Believe it or not.
I, you know what, if he was still alive and vibrant and I wasn't getting married and I came across him, I would toss it at him. I ain't going to lie. And we all know what I say about old men. I heard it many a time. My mama told me, you mess with old men, you catch worms. But I might have to, I ain't going to lie. I take that back. I got a few. Smokey Robinson.
He's still alive, yeah.
You know, Billy D.
Anyone else? Oh, Billy D. Yeah, good old Billy D.
Quincy Jones.
Ah, Quincy Jones. The Q. Yes.
Q.
Q.
Those I would. You know, and those are all old enough to be my daddy. But
those are the exceptions. Yeah.
Those are the exceptions.
Now, would you have said to old Ali if he was vibrant, Rumble, old man Rumble?
I wouldn't have called him the old man.
Rumble, young man Rumble.
I wouldn't have called him the old man. I might have been saying daddy.
I can see why, but
we do keep it G-rated even when we having fun.
Yeah, see, we said exactly. Yeah, we did. But here's some of my before we bid adieu. Here's some of my greatest quotes that I've lived by, thanks to this man, Muhammad Ali, that I think we all should pertain to ourselves every day. Service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. The one who is not courageous enough to take risks will accomplish nothing in life. The man who has no imagination has no wings. It's the lack of faith that makes people afraid of meeting challenges, and I believed in myself. Champions have to have the skill and the will, but the will must be stronger than the skill. You hear that, LeBron? Just saying. Anyway. I'm just saying one of my many and last but not least another favorite of mine, don't count the days, make the days count. There's words to go by.
But you know what, I know that he hasn't said this, but one of the things that a lot of people forget, what will your dash mean? What will people remember about your dash? And a lot of times, his dash has a powerful and wonderful impact none of us can ever forget. His dash, words cannot describe, but his dash is one that we will always remember, and it's one that we should never forget.
That's right. And today is the private memorial service for Muhammad Ali with his family, and tomorrow is the public, which, by the way, the tickets were free, by the way, but there are some idiots that who got the tickets sell them. They should be burned in hell. That's my opinion. Try to sell those. But those people are going to have the privilege to be there tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I would definitely going to check that out on ESPN. That's where it's going to be aired. And definitely have to check that out. That's something that, you know, he spanned four generations. Think about it.
And not to take anything away, but the Preakness, mm-hmm. I mean, the Belmont
yes,
is on Belmont Saturday. Exaggerator.
Oh, I get that. Okay.
Start.
Okay.
Start of front. Okay, yeah, that.
You know, Greg will call in tomorrow.
But, no, because we're going to be talking about Zane tomorrow.
I know, but you know, like later in the show. But
I know.
But we can't wait for that tomorrow.
I'm going to let you in with the tribute. And this has actually been a really great show. And
yes, it has.
This is, as the CEO of East After Dark Radio, I will say that, you know, as with every passing that we truly, truly remember, the entire East After Dark family, you know, is saying rest in peace to the GOAT. And there's no words that can describe the loss that we all feel. Some of us truly feel the loss, that others have no clue what we're saying. But the one thing I would say is that this family here has taken a loss, and to his entire family and his children, he was and still is the GOAT.
Absolutely. He always will be the greatest of all time. And just two words, thank you. I mean, more than, I wish it was more. Well, we can do more, like Ms. Lee was saying. And I think to really uphold the legacy forever, us contributing to Parkinson's disease to help awareness on that and stuff like that, I think that's an excellent idea. And, you know, in honor of him and people going through it as we speak right now, I think is a beautiful way of showing our love and respect for this man. And it you know, I mean, he's in a better place, but we will never forget him. He will always be the greatest. There's no past tense. He is the greatest. There's no was. It is. And I'm gonna end this with a nice holiday tribute, chronicling his basically his life. And we will check you out tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with our other show. You know what show that is.
James will not be MIA, I promise you guys, because if he is, I'll hurt him.
Oh, no, I'm going to be there tomorrow. Who says I wasn't?
I'm just saying, it's like, no, you know they've been missing you.
Oh, get out of here, really? Is that for real?
Yeah.
Or are you just saying that to be nice?
go listen to last night's show. You'll find out.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, that made me feel good. That really did. Well, I would like to think it was including Ms. V too. I like to think. Well, thank you, and thanks to those who said that. And I want to. If there's a Wednesday I can, I will. Let's put it like that. It's never out of the rim that, you know, it's forever as far as the Wednesday part of it. But fortunately, with everything going on with me, things I have to do, you know, unfortunately, I had to, you know, step away for that for now. But trust me, it wasn't an easy thing to do. But, you know, don't worry. You know, I'm still here. I'm not gone. I'm here, you know, and I'll be here tomorrow, you know, and not to get too mushy, but I love you, and I love our fans. And just check out this tribute, and, you know, it made me smile and cry and laugh the whole time I saw it on YouTube and even listened to it, Will, too. So take a little listen, and you have a great night, everybody, including you, Miss V, of course. And we'll check you out tomorrow at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our other show. And it's going to be very fun. Zane, can't wait. Yeah. Have a great night, everybody. Yes, have a great night, everybody. And we'll, as Ms. V would say, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Rest in peace to the, yes, to the late, great Muhammad Ali.
The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here!
Run like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Rumble, young man, rumble.
He will be mine in round 9. And if he makes me sore, I'll cut it to 4.
Thank you very much.
And if that don't do, we'll get him in 2. If he run, we'll get him in 1. And in your heart, you know I'm right.
I'm young. I'm handsome. I'm fat, I'm pretty, and can't possibly be beat. I am the greatest.
You better fight this boy Cooper. You've been playing around for a long time, supporting it as you
yes,
say.
Yes, I'm not training too hard for this bum. Henry Cooper's nothing to me. This bum going over 5 rounds.
Liston receives the congratulations to the victor, scorns Cassius Clay, who's heard to say, Liston's not great, he'll fall in 8.
I saw Sonny Liston a few days ago, Cassius.
Ain't he ugly?
He's too ugly to be the world champ. The world champ should be pretty like me.
This will be the biggest outfit in the history. And if you like to lose your mind, be a fool and battle fine.
I'm the greatest man that ever lived. I don't have a mark on my face.
Yeah,
I'm upset, Sonny Liston, and I just turned 22 years old. I must be the greatest. I told the world, I talk to God every day. If God's with me, can't nobody be against me, Sonny. I shook up the world. I shook up the world. I am the king of the world.
Hold it.
I'm pretty.
Hold it. You're not that pretty.
I'm a bad man.
Wait.
I shook up the world.
Hold it.
I shook up the world.
Cassius, you're talking.
I'm not Cassius. You still calling me. I can't get on with
Mohammed,
you.
Or Mohammed, you're talking in
I'm not no white man.
You have to talk in generalities.
See, you want
to
keep calling me a white man's name. I'm not white. I don't want to be called after your name no more. I'm not no slave. I'm Mohammed Ali.
My name is Mohammed Ali, and you will announce it right there in the center of that ring after the fight if you don't do it now. You are acting just like an old Uncle Tom.
I predicted that the way he's been talking about me, that I would give him a good whooping. And I'm so thankful that he did have the power to stand up like he did, because that's what he got was a good whooping.
Me the heavyweight champ of the world and rating me as 1A without testing me in no way. I just can't understand it, and I'm trying to figure it out. Why is it me?
My intention is to box to win a clean fight, but in war,
The intention is to kill, and continue killing innocent people.
It took an all-white jury less than a half hour to find Muhammad Ali guilty of all charges and specifications. He was sentenced to the maximum, 5 years in prison, and was fined $10,000.
It has been said that I have two alternatives. Either go to jail or go to the army. But I would like to say that there is another alternative. And that alternative is justice.
Ali claims he cannot be drafted for religious reasons, and now the high court will decide whether he's right.
Who's the heavyweight champion of the world?
The Supreme Court agreed today to review heavyweight fighter Muhammad Ali's conviction for refusing induction into the Army.
And I just don't think I should go 10,000 miles from here and shoot some black people who never called me nigger, enslaved me, and deprived me of freedom, justice, equality. I just can't shoot it.
I'm 22 years old. I must be the greatest. I told the world. I talk to God every day. If God's with me, can't nobody be against me. I shook up the world. I am the king of the world.
Hold it. You're not that pretty.
I'm a bad man.
Wait. I have a dream that one day everybody will be exalted.
Please tell everybody to get to your theater. I've never had a man that I wanted to whoop so bad.
For Joe Frazier to be a champion, he's got to beat me. See, those eliminations are only imitation. He's not the real champion.
Say goodbye to Muhammad Ali, because very honestly, I don't think he can beat George Foreman.
This chump has got everybody scared. Scared of what? Nothing to be scared of. Scared of what?
After this fight, I suspect Ali will retire.
It is befitting that I leave the game just like I came in, beating a big, bad monster who knocks out everybody and no one can whoop him. That's when that little Cassius Clay from Louisville, Kentucky came up and stopped Sonny Liston, the man who annihilated Floyd Patterson twice. He was gonna kill me. But he hit harder than George. His reach was longer than George. He was a better boxer than George. And I'm better now than I was when you saw that 22-year-old undeveloped kid running from Sonny Liston. I'm experienced now, professional. Jaw's been broke, been knocked down a couple of times. Bad. Fast. And you, George Foreman, all of you chumps are gonna bow when I whoop him. All of you. I know you got him. I know you got him picked. But the man's in trouble. I'm gonna show you how great I am.
Sucker, you ain't nothing. You're too ugly to represent us color folks. These Africans think all of us ugly. Sucker, look at you. You out, sucker.
Maybe he can pull off a miracle. But against George Foreman, so young, so strong, it's hard for me to conjure with that.
Jumping with my head, who's somebody's boy, happy man.
so the stage is set. We're just about ready to begin. Round one, the heavyweight championship of the world at stake. Slow trying to stalk his man. Ali looks like he's ready to go here. And Muhammad Ali is taking some punishment now. About 25 seconds left in the round. Ali, face left, throws a straight right hand. That right hand lead has George Foreman slightly confused, but a straight left jab thrown by Foreman has Ali in the corner. Ali dances back, hangs on. What a tremendous, tremendous face. Right eye of George Foreman at this point alone. Ali has hit him on the butt. Ali is definitely headhunting with his right hand lead.
New for this fight. I done wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning, throw thunder in jail. Only last week, I murdered a rock, injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean, I make medicine sick. That's bad.
Now, attention. I told you, all of my critics, I told you all that I was the greatest of all time. Want to be Sunday listen. I told you today, I'm still the greatest of all time. Never again defeat me. Never again say that I'm going to be defeated. Never again make me the underdog until I'm about 50 years old.
That's right.
Then you might get me. I told you I'm the real champion. I told you I'm the champion of the world. All of you bow. All of my critics crawl. All of you suckers who write the Ring magazine, Boxing Illustrated, all of you suckers bow because the stage was set. You made him great. You made him a bad Joe Louis. You made him a hard puncher. But I want everybody from this moment on to recognize me as the scholar of boxing. If you want to know any damn thing about boxing, come to Muhammad Ali.
Of all the punches took something from him. Those last fights sped him on his merry way.
I'm going to be the first man to win the title three times. I have a chance to make history. The first man to win the title three times.
Harry Holmes is the WBC heavyweight champion. He is 35-0, 26 of those wins ending by knockout. His challenger is a living legend, Muhammad Ali, coming out of retirement after a two-year layoff, is trying to win the title an unprecedented fourth time.
And Ali is learning that even he cannot be forever young. This must be stopped. It is a sad way to end.
Some who know him believe that all those blows to the head damaged his brain, that he is no longer the man he was inside.
Almighty God, Allah fights battles for us. We not, we are forbidden.
didn't occur anything like a weapon. We are peaceful people.
As many of you know, my husband has been battling Parkinson's for over a decade. It has been one of his greatest challenges in a lifetime of standing up to many monumental challenges, both inside and outside of the ring.
One of the happiest times of your life, despite Parkinson's?
This is the happy time of my life. After this one, I'm 7 years ago, two sons, five grandchildren. Yeah. 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 Yeah